Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrew.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私はヘブルで、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lake.
We are Hebrew.
Around my sister.
Hallelujah. Shalom, shalom, and blessings to you all, daughters of Zion. Welcome to another episode of Sister to Sister. My name is Mother Jennifer, and I will be your host tonight. Before we start, let me just say, I miss Sister Ashley. I truly do. I miss Sister Ashley. I miss her presence. I miss her voice on the show. I do check in with her, and I check to see how she's doing, how she's recovering. She's doing very well. But I just want you to know, Sister Ashley, I love you dearly, and I miss you very much. I look forward to your return. I pray that you are enjoying your purification. I pray that you're getting everything you need during this time, and you are definitely just in our thoughts always. I want to give all glory and honor to the Most High Yah for just continuing to keep me, keeping my mind sane and sound, just really thanking him for allowing the word to penetrate my heart, the words that we've been given not only on Sabbath, but even during the week, the teaching that we are, that we have access to, you know, it really just is a blessing. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for all of the labor that he puts in for Yah's people. He's not a selfish man at all. You know, he labors for every single individual as he serves the Father. So I'm just honored to belong to him. I'm honored to have him as an example in my life, to have an example to follow, and just to see his selflessness in serving the saints, always sacrificing and never, never, ever complaining. I want to acknowledge our shepherd, Pastor Dowell, for feeding the sheep, for feeding us with so much knowledge, so much wisdom, so much understanding that we truly need, for desiring to see us set free. Thank you, Pastor Dow, for the example that you set. Thank you for your family who supports you and who sets an example as well. Blessings to all of you. Hallelujah. Before we move forward, what I want to do is just give an announcement. You know, we've been talking about Feast of Tabernacles, but we don't want to forget about trumpets. So trumpets, if you plan to attend the land for the Feast of Trumpets, when I say the land, I mean Straightway Tennessee. If you plan to attend the hub for the Feast of Trumpets, please call the dining hall. When you call the dining hall, leave your name and your phone number and how many people will be coming with you. Also, don't forget about the Be a Blessing list for the Feast of Tabernacles. There's still items that are needed on the Be a Blessing list. We are getting items in, and we thank you so much for that, but there's still items that are needed. If you are going to be buying items or bringing them with you for the Feast of Tabernacles, please contact the dining hall and let them know exactly what you're bringing, and you can find out what is still needed as well. I want to also give an acknowledgement before I go on. For North Carolina, we had North Carolina Saints here last week. And, you know, we had Brother Gideon, and we had really the whole fellowship. We had the women. We had the brothers. We had the children that were here. So we had about 20 saints here from sixth day until first day. And it was an honor and a pleasure to just have them with us on the land. They are very thoughtful, very mindful of their brothers and sisters. It's just an honor to have a disciplined group come to the land and just really care for our land as if it is their home, because it truly is. So blessings to you, North Carolina. Bless you, Brother Gideon, for all that you do for the saints there. So tonight we are going to go over, we're going to have another live video. So this video will be available to view on YouTube on the Straightway Help Meets YouTube channel, and it will be available to view at 6:30 p.m. Central Time, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So we'll chat just a little bit, and at 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern, you will be able to view this next live video. Now, this is a really good one as well that we have coming up, and this is an interview of Sister Kyresha. The interview, or the title of the video, is called A Single Mother Serving the Saints, and it's about 40 minutes long. So I believe that everyone should have their paper and their pens ready to take notes, because there's just a lot of wisdom coming from Sister Kyresha. She truly is a gem of a sister. She started out in tech, she moved to Kentucky under the leadership of Elder Mitchell, and she is now in Wisconsin under the leadership of Brother Kabir. And I've never heard a negative word spoken about Sister Kyresha. The only things that I've heard about her is that she has been a blessing wherever she is. She's always a blessing. I remember when she moved from Kentucky to Wisconsin, the Saints, they were happy for her. But I remember them literally crying because they love her so much. They loved, you know, her service. They love Sister Kyresha, you know, her selflessness. It just really speaks volumes. It really does. And, you know, when I think about when Sister Kyresha left, it makes me think, you know, something that we should really all think. If we were to leave and you know, go to another community, or to say if we left, would the people be relieved, or would they be sad to see us go? And I think that's something that we should all reflect on. It really should be. There should be a good report that wherever you go and whatever you do. So I want to read a letter about a letter that Sister Kyresha wrote. And this is pretty much introducing herself and her interview. But she says, during the early stages of my walk in the faith, I was led to do a study on submission. So very early in her walk, she felt led to do a study on submission. The study revealed on how unsubmitted I was and how I needed to be in full submission to first our Abba Yah and to the body of Christ. She says, my hope and my prayer is when you hear this interview that you can hear with an ear to understand and an ear to want to change and produce good fruit in any area where you are not walking in full submission. I'm going to pause real quick. There's something about a saint that understands and knows how to reprove themselves. You know, if you are a self-reprover, that truly goes a long way. So she says that she realized that there were areas in her life that she was not in submission. So she did a study on submission, and it wasn't just doing the study. She actually put it into practice. It says Jeremiah 18 comes to mind and is about the potter and the clay. This is how submission really became real to me, especially when I was invited to live on community. I learned what iron sharpening iron is, and I learned to really see myself as Yah sees me and to allow the potter to break me down and mold and shape me in order to produce change to fully die out to my own will and walk in full submission to Yah, following the mission of Elder Mitchell at that time. My hope is as you listen to this interview that you can allow the potter, which is Yah, to mold and shape your hearing and to mold and shape you into who Yah needs you to be in the area of submission or any area of your life. I hope that this blesses the hearing ears of all my sisters and encourages you to want to love and be fully submitted to the mission that is presented to you in your life in this faith, to not live for yourself, but truly live as a servant of Yah. You know, something that really stands out in her letter, it talks about really laying down her will. You know, she said that she wanted Yah to mold and shape her in order to produce the change to fully die out to her own will so that she could walk in submission to Yah following the mission of Elder Mitchell at that time during Sabbath, during the message. And, you know, he was really talking about community toward the beginning and how community is the way of perfection. Community is a way that will perfect you. So we're going to go through that. And her letter reminds me exactly of what Pastor was talking about. And it reminds me exactly of, you know, the type of example that we should be, that we see in Sister Kyresha. If everybody could just give me a sound check once I play this, I would appreciate it.
Also, let me say this. There's a reason why that in today's hour that we live in, that people speak against brethren dwelling together in unity. You see, if you don't live it, if you never lived it, you're missing out on a perfection process that you would never have an opportunity to have living in this life. Did y'all hear what I'm saying? You see, you can speak with clarity when you have been on both sides of the fence. I've been on the side where it's just me and my little old family. And we're going to assembly, keeping Sabbath and all that. But boy, you want to know the real meaning of iron sharpens iron? You want to know the real meaning of going on to perfection? Live on community.
I'm going to pause there. Now, this letter was written, you know, again, with the intent that everyone could just really understand the perfecting process. And, you know, Pastor talks about if you don't have that opportunity to live together, then you miss out on the perfection process. However, you can also live on community, and because you're so resistant to the process, then you're going to miss out on the perfection process. So I don't want it to seem as if just because you're on community that you've got it all together. There is a process that you have to go through. Let's go on.
Get in homestead. Heading towards community. Most people don't realize that your flesh don't like it, but it's a perfect opportunity for flesh to die. Because without this experience, I can say this with truth, without this experience of living with the saints, you would never, ever taste the levels and depths of this walk heading towards holiness. Because without this, you would never be challenged. You would never have an understanding of the scripture the way you think you would. Never would. So most people resist community or common unity because they're trying to preserve the flesh. I mean, I'm literally visibly telling you that you cannot be as perfect as you should if you don't live with the saints. For those of us that live together, am I telling the truth? See, there's some stuff in you that will unearth. And I see, first, the first order of business, you start off pointing the finger and blaming everybody else.
Okay, I'll pause there. You know, again, Pastor talks about you will be challenged in areas. You will receive understanding that you've never received before when you live with the saints. You know, you'll start to understand yourself. You will think that it's to get to know everybody else or it's to get to know someone else. No, it's to get to know exactly what is in you that is not of Yah. So, again, you're not going to challenge yourself if you're living by yourself. You know, you're going to make yourself comfortable. You're going to make your flesh comfortable. You're not going to want to lay down your own will. So we have to have one another. But also, if you're living in community, you can also resist the process. So I don't want anybody to think that they've made it just because they live with saints. So you can live with saints and you can still be resistant. Let's go on.
And then pretty soon after a while, you start going, wait a minute. I'm up here blaming everybody else, but it seems like it's always everybody else. Saying the truth. It's me. I'm all jacked up. But I'm telling you, if you want to follow the king in this regeneration, you better make an effort to try to get together. Yeah, I'm telling you. Most of you say, nah, my flesh. You want to blame it on your flesh, but it's really your will. Oh, yeah.
That was very profound when, you know, Pastor said we want to blame everything on our flesh. First, we want to blame everything on everybody else. You know, it's always somebody else's fault. It's never my fault. Got to be somebody else, but it's never me. How many of us actually stop and consider first, okay, this is me. This misunderstanding is because of me. This is something that is resistant in me. This is something that I'm not properly understanding. You know, how many of us actually stop and do that versus blaming somebody else? She did this. She said this. She misunderstood. You know, how many of us blame someone else? And then when you get to the point of not blaming someone else, then we start blaming the flesh. And Pastor said it's really not the flesh. It's the fact that you don't want to lay down your own will. You don't want to let go of your own will. So I thought that was very profound what he said regarding your own will. So let's go on.
It ain't easy every day living with JC. I mean, look at it. He starts everything. Am I telling the truth, folks in Ilya? You didn't know all this stuff was in you. I tell you what, it made you slow down putting forth the finger, don't it?
You know, when you really get a revelation of who you really are, when you get a revelation of the depth of wickedness that is truly in your heart, you have no choice but to stop pointing the finger at everybody else. And you have to really realize, okay, this is me. You know, every time there's a level of contention, I'm always in the middle of it. So there's something in me that needs to be dealt with. And I want to say this, you know, the people who live on community, they really have such a great opportunity to be able to receive deliverance. But in some cases, you'll see that people who don't live on community are even more desperate than some that are on community. People that don't live on community will sometimes have more of a desperation to be set free than those who do live on community. You know, sometimes those who live on community may take it for granted. I have seen people study and study and study and study regarding deliverance, regarding a spirit that they're dealing with, but they never get to the point of sitting in the chair. And this is how you continually blame someone else and you think that it's somebody else's fault because you're sitting here studying about a demon that needs to be cast out. So there is a time and place for making sure that you're prepared, but when will you get in the chair? When will you do the work that will put you in the chair? Let's move forward.
See, now we have a revelation. See, if I'm doing this, what am I doing? What am I doing? But see, when you live together, you realize you got one point, but three is back at you. You don't blame me? Do this. How many fingers you got pointing back at you? Even if you try to put the thumb that way, you still have no.
Hallelujah. Pastor just giving an example about when you point the finger at somebody else, you've got three pointed back at yourself. Also, I wanted to go over real quick the fact that, you know, it's important, sisters, to make sure that you are talking to your children about deliverance. It's important that you speak to your children about spirits and how to fight demons in their own mind, how to understand what the communication is like when a demon is trying to minister to them something that is not of Yah, it's very important to get that in their minds from an early age so that they can grow up understanding deliverance. We do them a disservice when we don't talk to them about these things, when we don't talk to them about deliverance, when we don't talk to them about spirits, when they don't see you getting deliverance, when they don't see you fighting. You do a disservice to them. So please love them enough to make sure that they have the tools that they need to be able to fight these spirits on their own. Because one day, you know, the time is going to come when they are going to have to fight on their own. So we must equip them. Don't think that it's just all fun and games because they're children. We have to equip them the right way so that they can understand and fight. Expose them to deliverance at an early age so that they don't, you know, get to the point of being fearful when they're finally around deliverance. So, again, we're going to listen to Sister Kyresha's testimony tonight. I pray that everyone, I pray you all take notes because this is truly a blessing. Sister Kyresha is a gem of a sister, and there's so much wisdom coming from this particular interview. So we are going to sign off now, and in about 4 minutes, it should be ready to go. All right, blessings to you all. I love you dearly, and we'll see you next week.
Sverige och jag älskar min straightway-stam och mina systrar.
Finland.
Olen hebrealainen Suomesta ja rakastan straightway-heimoani ja siskojani.
Israel.
Ani Ivriam Israel, ohevet et shevet straightway ve'achyotai.
Trinidad.
I am a Hebrew from Trinidad and Tobago. I love my straightway tribe and sisters.
Puerto Rico.
Soy hebrea de Puerto Rico y amo a la tribu de Straightway y también a mis hermanas.
Philippines.
Sa koka Hebrew gikan sa Cebu, Philippines. Gihigugman ako ang pamilya sa Straightway. Labi na ang mga igsuon ako nga babae.
Australia.
I am a Hebrew from Australia and I love my Straightway tribe and sisters.
Japan.
私は日本からのヘブライ人です。私はストレイウェイ族と私の姉妹が大好きです。
Canada?
I am a Hebrew from Canada, and I love my straightway tribe and sisters.